Hi there, friends. This is your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, and you are listening to Playbill Presents The Broadway Cast. The Broadway Cast is a weekly podcast that brings the pages of Playbill to life and delivers it directly to theater fans around the world. Every episode will feature Broadway news and exclusive stories from the most notable Broadway personalities. Additionally, the Broadway Cast will give a voice to fans like they've never had before.
On today's episode of Playbill Presents The Broadway Cast, we sit down with Broadway leading ladies Betsy Wolfe, Jen Gambetese, and Mamie Paris. All right, all you Broadway news junkies, we know what you crave. We're going to turn it over to Ruthie Fierberg and Felicia Fitzpatrick over at Playbill with our weekly Playbill Pulse.
Thanks, Ben. It is always good to be here.
The Playbill Pulse.
First of all, we've got some Hamilton news. This week, Chicago production is going to see a new Angelica Schuyler. Montego Glover is going in when Karen Olivo exits in August. So if you want to see Karen Olivo, get there. And if you want to see Montego, get your tickets in advance. Totally. And in that same vein, the people who leave Hamilton are doing so well. We just found out this past week that David Diggs, Tony winner for his Lafayette Jefferson, is writing and starring in a movie called Blindspotting with his longtime writing partner, Rafael Casal. The two of them have this amazing writing program down at the Public Theater.
Yes, Bars.
Yes. And now they're writing this movie about two movers in a gentrifying Oakland because, you know, they're from the Bay Area. And Jasmine Cephas-Jones, speaking of Hamilton, going to be in the movie. So I also love that they maintain, like, their community. They're paying it forward to their co-stars. It's kind of amazing. In non-Hamilton news, but ginormous news, Tony Kushner, Pulitzer Prize winner, obviously, for Angels in America.
Mm-hmm.
Has announced a whole slew of projects. He's working on a play that's going to be set 2 years before the Trump election. He's working on a musical about the death of Eugene O'Neill. He's in talks with Steven Spielberg about another film adaptation of West Side Story.
Yes.
And all this while he's working on the screenplays for two films, one with Viola Davis and one with Mark Rylance. So again, theater people helping theater people. I love it.
I cannot wait for that.
There's also, as always, stuff going on off-Broadway. Bubbly Black Girl Sheds Her Chameleon Skin is coming to City Center. And we just found out that this fall, The Wolves by Sarah DeLapp, which was amazing for those of you who saw it, is coming to Lincoln Center Theater at their off-Broadway house, the Mitzi Newhouse, come the fall. Oh my gosh, Come From Away is doing a free concert on July 30th, keeping up with our summer concert schedule. And in the fall, the Sheen Center, speaking of concerts, has a new series called Broadway Bears Soul. And listen to who is on the roster, Felicia.
I'm ready.
Vanessa Williams.
Okay. Whew.
Kelly O'Hara.
What?
Raul Esparza.
Stacked.
Come on.
Stacked lineup.
Amazing. And then, of course, we have movies to look forward to. Pasek and Paul, we know that they're working on The Greatest Showman, but just announced they're also working with Alan Menken on the live-action adaptation of Aladdin.
It's about to be a whole new world.
Indeed. Mic drop, Felicia. Mic drop. And Ben, I mean, that's the Playbill Pulse. That's what we've got for you.
Oh, all right. I feel better for having known all that. Thank you so much, ladies. Now, it's time to get on with the show!
Hoo-hoo!
Yeah.
Give my regards to Broadway.
The lullaby of Broadway.
There's a kid in the middle of nowhere who's sitting there living for Tony performances, singing and flipping along with the Pippins and Wickets and Kinkies, Matildas and Mormonses. So we might reassure that kid and do something to spur that kid. Because I promise you, all of us up here tonight, we were that kid and now we're big.
Hello, my beautiful Broadway-obsessed friends. It's your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, and you are listening to Playbill Presents The Broadway Cast. We're recording live in the heart of Times Square, and on today's show, we're sitting down with some downright gorgeous leading ladies of Broadway. Let's meet them, shall we? Our first panelist, to my immediate left, has starred on Broadway recently in Falsettos, Bullets Over Broadway, Off-Broadway, and the hit revival of the last 5 years, starred in the Met Opera's Deflator Mouse, and is currently the star of Waitress. This is Betsy Wolfe.
And baby, that's all.
Hi there.
Hi, Betsy Wolfe. It's wonderful to have you on the Broadway cast.
I'm so excited.
I recently got to see you in Waitress, and you were stupendous. You were absolutely wonderful.
Thank you.
How has it been going in?
I've loved every minute.
Yeah?
I didn't think it was possible to genuinely love coming into a show this much and love the cast and just love my actual job. But it's actually true.
It can be done.
It can be done,
it can
and it is
be done.
Being done.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love that. Well, seated next to Miss Betsy Wolf, she starred as Jane in Tarzan. She starred in All Shook Up, Footloose, Hairspray, Is Me Dead, and the current leading lady over at Horace Green playing Rosalie Mullins, Jen Gambetese.
Cause I'm finally living the life that I dreamed. It seems I've been waiting forever.
As I like to call her Jen Chog, but that's a story,
that's another story for another time. Jen Chog.
Thanks for being here on the Broadway cast.
Thanks for having me.
Little known fact for our listeners, Jen and I got to play together on the Broadway in Footloose.
Yes.
Uh-huh, that mega opus that is Footloose. And we actually toured Europe together.
We did.
Yeah.
And we would wait for the bus together.
We would.
And you would sit on the bench, and I called you Ben Chog.
Right.
And then I was Jen Chog. So that's the story.
That's the story. So now you know it. Now you know it. And rounding out our panel today, looking gorgeous in pink, she's currently starring as Grizabella in Cats on Broadway, which just has to be like the coolest thing that you can say about yourself. If you are Grizabella in Cats, that's
epic.
It. She's also appeared in School of Rock, Ragtime, The Drowsy Chaperone, Legally Blonde, Tour of the Country as Elphaba in Wicked, Mamie Paris.
And the heavens will part and the light will appear. Little kids of all races will join hands and cheer.
Hi, Mamie
Paris.
Hi.
I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here, and I got to see you in the Kitty Cat Show not too long ago, and also I have to compliment you on the way that you tear into that song. It is really exciting.
Thanks.
I feel like you tear into that song the way that I tear into a chicken fried steak.
Yeah, that's kind of the goal.
Yeah.
You know, I want to tear into it like a chicken fried steak.
Yeah.
But don't you think that's how people want to hear that song too, though? Like, it's so satisfying.
I don't care what they want.
Well, I will take it from some ears.
Like, that's how I want to sing it. So that's
how
it comes out.
When the commercial first came on, and it's her voice. And I was in the other room, and I literally walked into the room where the TV was, and I was like, what the?
Yeah.
And I was like, I know her. Yeah. I know her.
You think you were surprised. The first time I saw it on TV, well, I didn't see it. I was in the bathroom. I was watching Saturday Night Live, and I was like, oh, good, a commercial break. I have time to pee. And I was home by myself with the dog and sitting on the toilet. Thank you very much. Yeah. When I heard myself, squelting memory and was like, oh, that's humbling.
Did your dog, get confused?
No, she doesn't care.
You know how
I get confused every time. It scares me every time.
You know how dogs feel about cats. It was dismissive about
that's
it.
That's what it is. Bada-bing,
bada-boom. What is the weight of that? That song is so iconic, and you have that. It builds up to that big moment for you.
Yeah.
Is there pressure involved in
that?
Oh,
my God, yes.
Just...
Oh, my God, yes. I would say that's probably one of the hardest things about the show is after I first started doing it, I would leave at the end of the night or at the end of the week and go, why am I so exhausted? Because you watch what, our dancing cast does on stage, and it's incredible. And you know why they're exhausted and icing every joint and rolling things out. But I leave and I'm like, oh, my God, this is, whew, I feel like I've been hit by a truck. And then you go, oh, it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Just like anything is. I mean, anything, when you're on stage performing, you want to give the best show possible. But there's a big expectation. But you've kind of, you get used to it.
And yet I feel like in that song, even if you did miss a word or two, no one maybe would know.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No one would care.
Maybe know.
It's so beloved that I think, because you sing, my character sings a shorter version of Memory at the end of Act One, which sometimes confuses people. They're like, oh, that's it? That's small.
They
that's
get really excited about
that's
it.
That's why I paid $165 for it. But the benefit of that is that I'm closer to the audience and I'm lit a little bit differently and I can just barely make out the first row or maybe the first or second row. And the minute that melody starts, everybody just kind of holds on onto each other and holds onto the chair, and it's very exciting to watch. Mm-hmm. It's sweet.
You talking about it in this moment, I did that. I was like, yay! Oh, you look in the front row, and I'm like, I like cats a lot.
Yeah, I love cats.
When I was in eighth grade, I had every word memorized. It made me very popular in science class.
Which cat were you in eighth grade? Like, which cat did you pretend to be?
I had Skimbleshanked dreams. Yes. I did.
Skimbleshanked dreams.
I did. Hashtag Skimble dreams. Okay, ladies, let's start out by having a little bit of fun. We're going to play a quick round of You Can't Stop the Beat. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
I did that
Yay.
One.
You did that one. You were Penny in the Hairspray.
I was.
This is how it's going to work. We're going to get a beat going, and this is how we're going to do it with our hands. We're going to do a simple clap, ladies. Okay. Here we go. Let's just. We're not going to get complicated. We're just going to. That's all we got to do.
I do this with the brownies for my Girl Scout troop.
Okay, good. Now, with keeping that beat, I'm going to give us a topic.
Okay.
And you're going to pass. You're going to go round robin style, and each of you answer something within that topic while keeping the beat.
I'm
going to
fail miserably.
I wanted so very badly to be a part of this game, but Danny, producer, told me that I couldn't because he was afraid I would crush you.
You probably would. Danny, producer, is right.
Okay, are we ready?
You guys
are
ready.
In the groove.
Yep, you're so
ready. Daddy
is
ready.
The first topic is legendary leading ladies. 5, 6, Mamie, go.
Patti LuPone. Christine Ebersole.
Mm.
Joanna Gleason.
Ooh.
Elaine Stritch.
Oh.
Bernadette Peters.
That's real good.
Betty Buckley.
That's the one.
Leslie Uggams.
Ooh.
Mamie Paris.
Oh,
cheater!
No, that was actually really smart.
Yeah.
Why did
See
we start
we
with
there?
That? Like, I really should have started.
That
like,
that
I was starting to get nervous. Were you guys starting to get nervous?
I was. Because I went through two of my faves. Where are we going to go now?
Yeah.
I was impressed, to be honest with you.
I think it was like the Betty Buckley was, and then I was like, well,
yeah.
All right. We did very well. Ready, round two.
Oh, gosh. There's a round two.
Uh-huh. If you feel like you can handle it, everyone likes a double clap.
Oh, gosh.
Boom. Cha-cha. Ha. Mm.
Cha-cha.
Yeah. Famous leading lady roles. 5, 6, Mamie, go.
Evita.
Good.
Dot.
Mm. Oh.
Sticking with the witch and Into the Woods.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, I'm behind Grisabella.
Uh-huh.
Famous leading lady roles. Glinda, I played her.
That's right.
Lizzie in 110 in the Shade.
Oh, how they know each other.
Where Mamie and I met.
Oh, do we keep going?
I'm like, oh god,
do we keep
going?
Yeah.
The double clap is just more exciting.
Betsy, I absolutely agree. The double clap is more exciting. It's hard not to feel funky when a double clap's involved. All right, last one.
Funky.
And then we'll get to talking about the serious business.
All okay. Right. Okay.
Here we go. And I think we can handle the double clap.
Okay.
Ready.
Diva anthems. 5, 6, Mamie, go.
Memory, I'm cheating.
Uh-huh.
Defying gravity.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Children will listen.
Oh. Notice a theme.
I can't think of anything right now.
Basically done everything from Into the Woods.
Okay.
Oh, terrible.
I knew that would be
very,
that's,
very
that's hard.
Impressed with all of us.
Oh, gosh.
But by us, I mean you guys. All right, let's start at the very beginning, ladies.
Very good place to start.
Uh-huh. When you were young, what were the roles, the characters that you saw either on stage or in musical films that were the characters that you got on your bed with a hairbrush in hand and acted out? Who were the characters that really got
Maria.
You?
Maria.
Yeah. Tell us, Jen Gambitis.
I mean, I don't know that I did the hairbrush thing, but I mean, I always loved the R&H stuff. And so Maria and the Sound of Music for sure.
Yeah.
Probably every character in Les Mis.
Oh, yeah?
Every character. Yeah, because I remember like getting that. I think I got the double cassette or something for a birthday when I was a kid. And I was like, yes, Javert, by all means.
I have some very deep-seated Javert issues as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
Kim in Miss Saigon and Sarah in Ragtime.
Oh, my God.
I had really high hopes and expectations that I was going to really stretch some boundaries.
Yeah.
Really. So
I was obsessed with Miss Saigon when I was a kid.
Oh.
Obsessed.
Ladies, you're all speaking my language. I had that double tape set, the Miss Saigon, in eighth grade. I was in Woodshop, and they were teaching us how to silk screen a T-shirt. And I was like, well, I shall make a Miss Saigon T-shirt. That will be good.
There's that helicopter.
That helicopter will get you.
Yes.
So then when did you guys get into performing? What were your first performing credits in community theater or school? Betsy Wolf?
Well, my mom always liked to tell the story of when I would literally like push girls aside in dance recitals and be like, this is how it's done. I'm creating. I was like supposedly in the back row because I was taller. And then there's apparently videotape of it somewhere. Where I would just be like, excuse me, and make my way up to the
find
front.
Your light.
I found my light. And mm-hmm. so I think my parents were like, maybe she could like sing in church or something. So I remember just singing in church and doing things like that and doing community theater shows.
Yeah, what was...
And then I was cast as the Dormouse in Alice in Wonderland.
Aww.
And I remember counting my lines.
Oh, yeah.
There were like six of them, by the way.
Six? That's a big debut.
The Dormouse it was a big deal, Ben. Yeah. It was a big deal.
I feel that. Ken Gambetes?
Well, I also started singing in church. And, so my mom's Protestant, my dad's Catholic. So I was like, and all my friends are Jewish. So I sang everywhere. But the Catholics, they don't sing so much. So we would do like the pageants, the Christmas pageant at my mom's church and little performances there. And then I did like a theater day camp when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And the first show was Tom Sawyer. I whitewashed the fence. Mm-hmm. But I would say my breakout summer was an original musical called Robin and the Band, which was about Robin Hood, but it was R-O-B-Y-N.
Oh.
And I was the middle-aged Robin who had the big song. So that
can
was,
you tell us the name of the song?
Oh, my gosh. Wait. Yes, I can. Prince John who... come back to me. Come back to me.
She's okay. singing it. She's so
yeah. Why
that.
Should
That's
I
impressive.
Run from these tyrants? Why should I run from these things? For what good is living as they do? No heart and no soul and no pride. I'd rather be dead and be buried than live in a kingdom of lies. Fly away, something like that.
But how old were you when you were singing this?
No, isn't that crazy?
I can't even remember what I ate for dinner last night.
Seriously,
that is some.
That is like a room in the brain.
Yeah.
What was it called? Wow. Hide away, run away, hide away.
I'll tell you what. Whoever wrote that version, Robin and the Band, right now,
he's finally getting his due.
Well, I will tell you because I kept in touch with him. His name is Dan Call, and he teaches in Ojai, California now.
In Ojai, California?
Ojai, California.
Hi, Dan.
I
hope Dan's
Dan.
Listening.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I'll tell him.
Dan just got
hashtag.
Some serious exposure.
Yeah, can you believe I remembered?
It's a pretty
awesome.
Melody, too.
It was
it's
beautiful.
Wonderful.
It was, and that was, I think, like the big, you know, moment.
Yeah.
It was a big moment.
Yeah.
Mamie Paris.
I mean, I think it all kind of, everybody kind of discovers it at around the same age, I feel like, right? Like that 12, I don't know. I always liked to sing. I always sang. I always wanted to be Whitney Houston. Like yes. Betsy, I thought I could really push boundaries. Mm-hmm. And then I remember landing in, my family moved around a bit, and I landed in a town in Kansas City, Missouri, where they had these themed magnet schools. And I applied to go to the performing arts high school, or middle school, because I wanted to sing. And they were full. And so I was going to go to the communication school or something. And then the last minute, a slot opened up, but I didn't have time to like choose classes or anything. So I didn't have a choir class, but I had dance class and I had acting 101 or something, or theater. It might have been, I think it was acting.
Drama.
Acting it was like drama. Dummy. Yeah, I think it might have been theater 101 or something, like the basics. And I was like, oh, this is a thing that I do. Okay. And I just kind of took to it, and then I became like a theater major because you had a major and a minor, and my theater teacher like put me in the first show that year, which was Babes in Toyland. And like Betsy, I was very excited about my very small role and ran home and was like, I got a role and I have a solo. My solo was, I think, literally 3 bars long.
Yeah.
It was.
All right. Do you remember
I do remember
okay,
it.
Okay, here we go. Uh-huh.
I have been careless and lost my sheep. I played Little Bo Peep. That's all I sang. I have been careless and lost my sheep. And I was thrilled and so excited, and I was bit by the bug. And that's when I,
That was it. So when, ladies, did it become serious? And did we go on to school? And I'll go to you, Betsy Wolf. When did it become the trajectory of your life?
Oh, man. I mean, I think, I don't know if I ever thought I would genuinely do anything else in my life. Mm. And that might sound crazy, but I think I always just said, oh, no, I'm going to be on Broadway, which is kind of crazy now knowing what it takes, which I'm sure you guys could say the same thing, like knowing what it takes and the combination of opportunity and luck and just being in the right place at the right time and the your talent level. You're just natural starting out talent level. So I think all like that whole combo to just say, I'm just going to be on Broadway. It's like to actually get to say I am now is kind of a, just like a nutty combination.
Yeah.
So I think I always knew, though, there was just something inside. And so when I took a family trip here to New York when I was 15 years old, it was the first time I ever saw New York City. And we just kind of all knew. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll be here in like, you know, 7 years when I graduate college or whenever. And so that's exactly the trajectory.
Was it 7 years?
Yeah,
exactly?
It was like 6 years later. In fact, what's funny is my family was just in town. And I posted this picture because 20 years ago, exactly, we took this picture in Schubert Alley in front of my family, in front of all these different, you know, show posters. And so I said, guys, they all came back and saw Waitress my first week. So I said, can we all come back and take that same picture? And so it was just kind of a cool moment, like, and just a reminder of, like, kind of how many people it takes. It takes a village to, like, support someone in the arts and to say, like, I encourage you to do this. So yeah, I went to college right after high school, specifically for musical theater at CCM. So I kind of always knew I was going to do it, I guess.
I like that very much. We were talking a moment ago before we started recording about seeing yourself on a billboard in Times Square. how surreal is that?
I mean, it's cool. I think it's one of those crazy things where the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, whoa. And then I was like, okay, back to the grind and like just back to work.
This is my life.
Well, you also said you prefer the garbage can receptacle pictures.
Absolutely. I'm on garbage cans in the city, people.
You know you've made it when? Exactly. Jen Gambetis, when did it become a real thing for you and what was that road to the Broadway?
I knew that I wanted to be an actor, that I wanted to pursue it professionally when I played Emily in Our Town in high school.
Okay.
And it was just one of those moments where after the show, you know, family friends were coming up to me and friends of my parents and they were still crying, you know, because that one, that'll just gut you, Our Town. And I thought, wow, I'm good at this. I affected them. And so that's when I knew I wanted to study it. And then I came to NYU and did that and started touring. Fame was my first big gig. But yeah, I think I also, in my heart, I always knew it was what I wanted to do. But then I was quite the nerd. So I was, you know, very bookish. And I think, you know, my science teachers wanted me to go into science and my English teachers wanted me. So
did you ever toss that back and forth in your mind? Like, which road do I take? Or you knew?
No. Yeah. No. And in fact, when I went to NYU, I double majored in sociology, but not to have anything to fall back on, because why would it be sociology if it was? But, you know, tuition was so expensive that I wanted to, like, get the most out of my education. And I wanted something that I felt would augment my work as an actor. And I thought psychology might get me, like, a little in my head. But, you know, so I guess I kept the bookish thing going for a little while.
Did you ever stop to think what 17-year-old you would think of what you're doing now?
Much like what Betsy just said, there is this wonderful naivete of like a tunnel vision that it's so good you don't know better at that, where you're just like, this is in me and I'm going to make this happen. And then as you do it a long time, you realize like, wow.
Yeah, I think if you didn't have on the rose-colored glasses in a certain way at that age, and someone said, this is what you're going to be dealt with, this is what you're going to be dealt with, you might not actually go through it. So I think what's great about it, or at least having like guidance too and loved ones and people guiding you along the ways, you know, you're going to be given what you can handle in front of you at a certain amount of time. And so just constantly kind of walking through those doors one at a time, I think is like a graceful way of dealing with this business. If you knew everything that I think it would take, maybe at that age,
it seems so daunting.
Yeah, you'd maybe say, "Ooh, maybe not for me."
Sacrifices,
but somehow, and, like we were talking before about the thick skin, it's like, you know, it kind of builds like a thick. You're not automatically wearing your thick skin. It thickens because
by necessity,
you get
Jen,
life kicks your butt a little bit.
Mamie Paris, what was your road to the Broadway?
I don't know. You know, I feel similarly in a lot of ways to both what Betsy and Jen said, and also different in a way because I don't know that I ever like made the decision. I don't think there was ever a moment where I was like, I'm going to be on Broadway. I think once I discovered acting, it just became a part of who I was. And there was just never any question that I was going to do it. I think it found me. And coming to New York made the most sense because I knew I could come to New York, like everybody tells you, with no money and with no prospects and make something of it. And I came to New York and I went to school. I went to AMDA for 2 years and, you know, but I came to New York with like $50 and a suitcase. You know, I was that person. And I did have support in that, you know, my family always wanted me to follow my dreams. But I really kind of came here to get out from under their feet as well, because we were having a hard time, my family, and I didn't want them to have to pay for me anymore. Okay. So I came to New York to struggle and be poor and to make art, and that sounds really pretentious, but it really was like I just didn't feel like I had a choice. And Broadway, I mean, I don't know that I ever really was one of those people that was like, Broadway. I didn't know if I would ever be on Broadway. I didn't know if I would wind up in Istanbul, like telling stories in a coffee shop. Like, I don't know. I didn't know where I was going to be, but I knew I wanted to immerse myself in this world surrounded by creative people doing creative things. And I wanted to tell stories. And so when it became serious for me, probably was early on, and then it becomes serious in lots of different ways. Then it becomes serious like, oh, I guess I have to consider if I'm going to do this for real, then I have to make it a career. And if I'm going to make it a career, then I have to make these choices. And if I'm going to make these choices, then I have to make these financial choices too. And that's when it becomes serious in a different way.
Right.
The and that changes all the time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was kind of a lame
well,
answer.
For any
so,
of you.
No, it was a great answer, especially Istanbul.
Yeah. Which is, it sounds so charming. I love that. That's so artistic.
It's making me think.
I know. It sounds really, it sounds kind of, but.
Next stop, the Istanbul coffee shop tour.
Yes. Oh, there's so many.
There's another show.
So it's not really
Right. See, because, you know, this is the thing, though. You were saying how fun it is to that we're here together.
Yes.
Like, we except at auditions sometimes.
You just don't see.
You don't. Except for the R&H shows where there's a soubrette and a leading lady. Then you get to be with girlfriends. But, like, we don't get to hang that much.
And even when you do hang, you don't get to talk about this kind of stuff. Like, I feel like I'm learning stuff about everybody.
I always find, like, I learn. Listening to these panels and hearing everybody kind of bounce off each other is really very special.
It's fascinating.
Are you in a show? I know you are. Do you want to add some Broadway flair to your school or community theater production? Well, Playbuilder lets you build your very own Broadway quality playbill program. Each playbill is fully customizable for your production. Dates, song title, cast names, production credits, artwork, and even advertising. It's a great way to promote your show, raise money for your organization, and create a professional, printable program. Save valuable time with Playbuilder Express. Select from thousands of pre-populated programs in our database and simply begin to customize your production's playbill. Visit playbuilder.com to learn how you can create your own playbill today.
Let's talk about the first time you guys had the opportunity to open up. Here we are at Playbill Presents the Broadway Cast. The first time you opened up a playbill and saw your name in there. Is that a magical moment? Is that something that sticks with you, Betsy?
I mean, yes. I would be completely lying if I didn't say. I mean, my Broadway debut was 110 in the Shade, actually, with Miss Mamie Paris over there. And so I will never forget the first time that I was in a original Broadway cast recording picture book. So, fun fact, I don't, Mamie might remember this or might not, but like I had crazy emergency like stomach surgery.
Oh, yeah, of course.
During previews of the show.
Of 110 in the Shade.
Yes, of 110 in the Shade. And so this is what was going on in my mind. So I was like, I had this crazy stomach surgery and all I could think about was is, they're taking photos for the CD booklet in 2 days and I will be there. And I was like, nothing will stop me. So I,
you have to wheel me
just
in.
Just had surgery, was like in my costume, like huddled over, which let's be
drugged
honest,
up.
Works
Weren't
for
you
110
like,
in the Shade.
Okay,
it's
yeah,
really
it's
hot.
Tired
and you're really hot and tired. And I was just like, oh, the woman in the town with severe stomach pain. So I was there and my picture is in that booklet. So for me, it was like, because I, as a kid, that's all I had was these cast recording booklets to look at. And so to see my face in that was, you know, and really, let's be honest, too, like it was like ensemble member number three. It was like the side of my face.
Mm-hmm. But you're there. But you're there.
It was amazing. So that was, you know, and yes, I was there, stomach hunched over and all. I was in so much pain in that photo. Find it. Look it up.
I just really... really like the idea that you found the character within it. That you found,
that's all I cared about was during surgery. Will it's, I be back for
yeah,
the photos?
Yeah, and this, I'm going to make this part of the experience.
How can I use this?
Ah, that's acting.
I know, right?
Jen Gambetti's acting. First time opening up that playbill.
Gosh, I've been doing this so long, and now I have two kids, so the memories are like, I don't remember like the first, you know, big wow moment, but I do know that as a theater goer, like, there's nothing I love more than my playbill. So I don't know that I've necessarily, as the actor, it's more when I go and I'm reading about everybody and seeing my friends in it. Me in it is cool, but I do hate when there's not pictures in it. Like, sometimes now on tours or something, like, they don't always have pictures or not of the ensemble, and I hate that.
Oh,
yeah, I want to see photos
and faces with names.
Oh,
and
yeah, I'd like to like look and be like, okay, do I see that person?
Yeah, what's happening
up there?
Yeah.
I wish we could have photos by the bios too. Wouldn't that be nice?
We've changed the name of your show now to Broadway Suggestion.
To the Broadway,
box,
welcome to the Broadway Suggestion Box. So do you have that memory?
I do. Maybe? I remember that. But you know, to be honest, I'm kind of, maybe it's cheesy, but I. It's always really cool to get the play. You know, when you're in the new show and you get the playbills for the first time, it's so exciting. Like, they smell a certain way and they feel a certain way. And then you open it up. And I have a thing because my name is Mamie Paris, which is just not something you hear very often. Anytime I see my name, it's exciting. So, of course, to see it, like, you know, in a Broadway playbill, it's kind of the most exciting place to see it. It's there and it's in big, bold print and it's spelled correctly.
And I will also not lie, that's a big thing, Betsy.
For all of us, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You mean bestie.
Bestie.
Gambetti. Oh, gosh.
I feel like we're going to all break into a chorus of Liza with a Z here.
That's rough life.
But I was just going to say, not to lie, like, it is nice also when you start playing the leading roles and you get to have more words.
Oh, right.
That's nice. So true.
Do you guys stress out about what goes into that bio and the way that it reads?
Tell me if you guys do. I don't know anybody who likes writing bios.
I can't stand it.
Oh, it's the worst.
It's a little stressful.
It's the worst.
And especially, and then when you have, you only have so many and you've been doing this longer, and then you have to pick and choose, and that's hard.
Yeah, for sure.
And you want to thank people, but then you can't thank everybody, and it's like, you don't want to leave somebody out.
It's like inviting people to a wedding. You're like, if I invite Uncle Steve and not Aunt Laura, and then, you know, the longer
you've been doing it, and generally, depending on where your career is, other people have an opinion. Your agent might weigh in and say, you know, I really think you should mention this role, or, you know, or your manager might weigh in. So that kind of adds to the complication. So it's,
it's fraught.
It's fraught.
But it's a necessary evil, isn't it?
Ooh, necessary.
Necessary.
I like that.
We've gone high British all of a sudden. So I just want to talk to you guys as actors. You know, you've all had the experience of creating roles and taking on roles that have been done before. What are the pitfalls or the great things involved in that? And how do they weigh against each other? Betsy Wolf?
Well, you know, it's funny. I'd never replaced before waitress. So if I could answer this question in like a dream world, to be honest with you, and I wouldn't have known this before, but I don't think there's any difference in how you have to approach it, to be honest. I did not approach this character. You know, I've revived quite a few shows too. In fact, so in essence, you're, you know, in some way recreating something that's already been done there too. I think just for me, the older I've gotten and the more experienced, I've just realized you really just have to approach it like it's fresh. I'm hired to bring Betsy to this character. And I spent way too much time when I was younger trying to either think about how can I imitate this or how can I bring an essence of what this person did into it. And it wasn't until I finally just said, I can only be, you know, my 110% of me is going to be better than my, you know, 110% best idea of what it should be, and bringing in some other version. So I really didn't start landing a lot of roles, honestly, even until that kind of was just clear in my head. So
I love that. I think there's nothing truer than that.
I
don't know.
I feel like this is...
No.
And it's not to not acknowledge what brilliance has been brought to roles before, you know, but I think that's really our job, is to bring our best self and our version and our concept and our thought to it. you know, as opposed to trying to recreate something.
I totally agree. Yeah, I think it does vary, though, sometimes depending on the production. Like if you're a replacement in a big machine of a show, some teams are more open to your take and other teams want a, you know, they want your take, but they also want kind of what they expect. So sometimes you have to serve two masters in that way. You're still bringing yourself to it, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think it's probably, in a way, I would agree 100% with both things. I think you get to a certain point in your career because you discover the fact that the one thing that we can bring to it is ourselves. Right. And it does not pay to try and give a team or give a production what you think someone else wants or what you think someone else would. You're wasting time. That being said, I mean, there are situations where you are a replacement and where you are still within some strictures of where you go and what you do and how this times out. And you just kind of have to learn, I feel like, how to finagle because there's still nothing stopping you from your creation.
Exactly.
It's just sometimes your creation within parameters. I've understudied, which has been a tremendous experience and informed how I take on every role now, which is wonderful. And, you know, obviously when you go on as an understudy, same as swinging, you want to go in and you want it to be relatively seamless for the people surrounding you, even though you're fresh and you have a different take. So you're creating something that is uniquely you, but still within that set of parameters. And I'm sure for some people that can be really difficult, but it opens up once you discover this place, this confidence of I have to bring what I have to this part, you know.
Exactly.
It's a different world. I don't know if that made any sense.
And ladies
and
actors.
It made a ton of sense.
I don't know if that made sense.
And what is ground zero? What's the first thing you consider when you're diving into a role? Where does the train start?
I think it's different every time.
What do you guys think? Is it?
Yeah, I think it varies with the piece. Like sometimes you're playing people who were real historical figures.
Right.
I loved doing Annie Oakley in Annie Gets Your Gun up at Good Speed. And that you can start from real life. You can read biographies. You can, you know, but if it's a new piece, you know, I think it does vary from the writing, but I guess start with the story, right? What is the author's intent is where I start. And how can I illuminate that?
Betsy?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, kind of the same like how I evaluate songs and kind of the arc of a song. It's for me, it's a lot about the text and what the script is and what's given to you. And for me, it's always about trying to find like the portal into this character and like what is the moment that you understand who this person is like intrinsically and where their heart beats and where everything starts and that's where everything then grows. Like for me, it's in Waitress, it's what baking can do is the moment that I like understood who Jenna was. That was kind of this like, oh, this is who she is and this is why we're going to tell this story. So for me, it's always about finding like, you know, and just like you said, like finding out what the author's intent is and what they want. So, but I think that there's if something is good and the writing's good, there should be really good clues for you to like have
hook
a jumping
into.
Board. Yeah, hook into and then go from there.
It's remarkable how writing can inform even your physicality as a character. You know, because it tells you what your breath is like, what your thought process is like, you know, between the music and the book. And it informs so much of what you do that if you, at any moment you get a little bit lost, you go back to your text and go back to the page and go, oh, this is why. This is why I'm feeling this way. This is what I want. It's all there.
And I think back to your original question about originating versus replacing.
Yeah.
That's some of the fun about originating is a lot. You're with the author there.
Ah.
So you're like hashing it out and helping create something that never was yet.
Yeah. Look, I made a hat.
I made a hat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about as Broadway leading ladies, you get to play with leading men. Obviously, yeah.
Oh, it's a great perk.
Is it a fun perk?
Most
of the time.
No,
but certainly within your career, a lot. So we're going to play a little game, a couple superlatives for
clapping?
Your. No, nobody else to clap. You are off the hook with the clapping.
This isn't like who haven't I kissed?
Oh,
the list
boy.
Is small.
It certainly could be who haven't you kissed. I'm open to that game.
The list is small.
Mamie just went, oh. I'm not talking about who you've kissed on 9th Avenue between 42nd and 59th. All right.
It's still a long list. So, I'm just kidding.
She maybe whips out a scroll.
When I was young.
Best kisser of your leading men.
Oh, that's easy for me. Kyle Dean Massey.
Hi. That's Mamie. Wow.
I swear, because as an Elphaba, you have to make out on stage with your
Fieros.
Really, you really have to go for it. And you have the guys who are like, oh, I'm a little scared. I don't want to, you know, do anything I'm not supposed to. And Kyle Dean, our first show together, I was like, oh, he's going for it. He felt me up a little bit. Ooh. He would feel me up.
He did?
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah.
And your response to that?
Oh, absolutely. Come on.
You're like, now we're acting.
Yeah, and half of my eyebrow would be on his face when we pulled away.
This is not a reason to go into theater. Little girls watching.
No.
Just
absolutely
FYI.
Not.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Just kidding. But I appreciated the commitment. That's all.
Absolutely.
As an actor. As an
you're gonna
actor.
Commit.
There you go.
Commit.
I went first.
Jen Gambetes.
Oh, well, I guess if you're going for, like, intensity of smooching, I would go with Josh Strickland of Tarzan, because we had to kiss the most. But Cheyenne was a great kisser. I've smooched some. Gavin Creel's a great kisser.
Yeah.
They're all great.
Just a bunch of little girl heads just popped off their shoulders.
Like, oh, yeah, he's good. He was good.
Uh-huh. Betsy Wolf?
I am going to refuse to answer this question.
Oh, come on. You got to play. You got to play.
Refusing. I'm refusing.
Oh, come on.
I feel like I've kissed everyone.
I know, and aren't they also
business.
One of the bad kissers?
And
they
not off stage, people. This is like with readings and labs.
Oh, yeah.
I feel
and
like
labs?
This is a slippery,
oh, that's
like
a
slippery
that is
slope.
A slope.
Well,
that's
yes, I only
the
named
good ones
a few.
Know who they are.
Oh. Also,
I mean, don't you think you know when you know when there's chemistry with someone on stage, and then
oh,
you
sure,
kind of know
yeah.
when there's there when there's not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
it's
and I, but nice I can say the three I named, they're all happily out men, and so that makes it that's safer, you know.
That's safer.
You get to smooth. You know?
It's true.
It's true.
It's kind of funny how sometimes, I mean, depending on the show, sometimes it's the straight men who are a little shy because they don't want to do
cross
something.
A line.
Oh. They don't want to cross the line, and gay men are like, "Let's go."
Like, when else are we going to have the opportunity?
Yeah.
All right. Let's the opposite let's, experience.
Like, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
When you're
see,
like, get
see?
A girlfriend.
Yeah.
Okay.
See,
I definitely
see?
Had that too. That's true.
I don't know that I've had that.
That's true. Oh my God.
We're
did
gonna,
I just say that live?
We're gonna yeah, send that
this is why she's not naming names.
Yes.
Because clearly there's
perfectly
a story right. there.
Name
it's
name.
Okay.
Well,
moving
listen,
on.
However you've played this, Betsy, you've done something right because that rock on your finger, I have
so
never
can't look at it.
Like
I'm blind.
That.
So
you
zoom in.
As a gay person, I'm having some serious.
Yeah,
it's some serious ooh, shiny like
thank
quivers.
You.
All right.
He's a special guy.
All right, friends. I know you love Broadway, and I can only imagine that if you're anything like me, you love a good vacation. So why not combine the two and take a Broadway-themed vacation with Playbill? Playbill Travel has been hosting the biggest fans of Broadway all over the world on incredible week-long cruises that get you up close and personal with the biggest stars of Broadway. I'm not joking. One night you can hear an amazing and intimate performance by, I don't know, let's say Tony Award winner and gorgeous human being Christine Ebersole. And the next morning you'll be going on an incredible excursion through Iceland with her. If you don't believe me, check out PlaybillTravel.com to take a look at Playbill's latest cruise up the Rhone River in France, where guests and Broadway stars had the time of their lives. Playbill Travel has three amazing cruises lined up between now and July of next year, so head to PlaybillTravel.com to book your soon-to-be most favorite vacation ever. So, as you ladies know, one of the things that we enjoy doing here at the Broadway Cast is connecting with people who are making theater happen all over the country.
Oh, yeah.
So, we're going to have an opportunity now to connect with a very special lady named Joanna, who's part of a very special group. And so, we've kind of spun this around. Instead of being our community theater shout out, this is a theater community.
Ooh,
shout
love
out.
It.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wow.
So, we're going to go ahead and get Joanna on the line. Joanna, are you there?
This is Joanna.
Hi, Joanna. It's Ben Cameron, and I'm here with Betsy Wolf, Jen Gambetes, and Mamie Paris, and you're on the Broadway Cast.
Hi, Joanna.
And you won $10,000.
Oh. Just kidding.
Courtesy of the Broadway Cast.
Congratulations. What are you going to do with all that dough?
I'm going to go see Broadway shows.
Good answer.
Good answer.
There it is. All right. So, Joanna, we understand that you're part of a pretty interesting group of theater fans. Would you tell our beautiful panel about that?
Sure. So I'm a member of the Physician Moms Broadway Babies Facebook group. And what that is, on Facebook, there's a huge network of physician moms. We're called PMG, the Physician Moms Group. It's about 60,000 women who are doctors and moms all across the world, mostly in the United States. And what started happening is that as moms were posting, we realized that we had certain things in common. So all of these subgroups started to kind of butt off, and you could join the different groups based on your interests. And, you know, moms of twins and moms who are family physicians and moms who are surgeons. And so the Physician Moms Who Love Broadway group was kind of a natural development.
Naturally.
The PMGBBs.
Of course.
But it's been really fun because, you know, there's a lot of posts of people going on their trips and the shows that they're seeing. And, you know, people ask great questions like, what should I take my child to? And,
recommendations.
You know, what should I take when I go see Great Comet? And, you know, all of these things that we can advise each other on. So it's very cool.
That is very cool. I'm so happy to know that that's out there. Do any members of the group ever travel together to see theater?
So that is in the plan.
Yay!
When I posted the notice that, you know, Cats is going to be closing in December, right away this whole discussion started about when are we taking our kids to Cats. And I think we settled on a date in October.
Making Mamie Paris smile awfully big. She's Grisabella, you know.
Of course, I already took my daughter to see Cats, and we love it.
I saw her picture. Her picture in her cat outfit. That was so cute.
She it was like 6 months after we saw the show, and she got to dress up for school, and I asked her what she wanted to be, and she looked at me, and she was like, Mom, a Jellicle cat, of course.
Jellicle, duh.
That's adorable.
Let's not be ridiculous. Of course, that's what it's going to be. I love that you're out there, and I love that you guys are supporting theater and being active in theater in your communities. Can I flip the script on you? Ladies, do you have any medical questions for Joanna? Does anybody have anything that they...
What's your specialization?
Yeah.
So I'm a family practice preventive medicine specialist.
You can come and see Waitress and tell me if my contractions on stage look real.
Oh, there you go.
Become like a... Be like, I have some thoughts. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Cast.
Okay. Nice to meet you, Joanna.
Yeah.
Come and see the shows. We can't wait.
Yes. Yeah. And identify yourself with your
physician.
I'll see you guys definitely.
In October. See you at Cats in October.
Yay. Thanks, Joanna.
I'm sure they're all going to be listening to this.
I'm sure they will. Good.
Talking about it in the group.
We're going to try to join the group, and we'll never get through.
That's right.
We love you. So, ladies, want to thank you so much. Before we go, obviously, I want to encourage everybody who's listening to get out there and see Waitress. Go see School of Rock. Go see Cats before it closes in December. Final thoughts, ladies. I just want to know, as you navigate these illustrious careers that you have, what is a dream role of yours? Betsy, bet you've got a sly look in your eye.
I will still play any role in Into the Woods.
Atta girl.
Including Little Red. It's not too late.
It's never too late. Jane Gavatine.
Well, they keep doing the ones that are on my list, so then it pushes him back. But Dot, I love Dot. But I'm that R&H girl, and I would love to do it on the Broadway. Oh. Any of them.
I think we can make that happen. Mamie Paris, dream role?
I don't know that I have a dream role, but if I had to choose something I would just absolutely love to do tomorrow, it would be Evita. It would be another ALW. I love the score,
I would love to hear you sing that.
I'd love to do that. But,
that's,
you know,
the thing.
Well, who knows when it'll come around again, right?
So. Well, we put all of that out into the universe, and I have to believe that these things can happen, that
absolutely.
We can make these happen. As we say goodbye, a lot of our listeners are people who are working and living in their theater community. Some of them are aspiring professional actors as well. Do you have any final thoughts of what's at take or what's important or what do you think people should know about being in your position, Betsy?
I think build an interest in even things that you don't think that you're going to love. Hmm. Like every aspect of theater. If you want to be on stage, dive into every aspect of what, you know, theaters. Help build sets for a while. Help stage manage. I think people always, you have an appreciation if you understand like the whole concept of what it takes going into it rather than just that one specific thing. You never know what you'll fall in love with too.
Wow. Coming back
That's
to the village
good
idea.
Good advice.
Jen Gametis.
And sort of riffing off of that, like besides being a student of theater and every part of it, be a student of life. Because especially if you are interested in acting, everything that you study, everything that you learn about, you get to bring to the table. Mm-hmm. So people like smart actors.
Yeah. There she is, bookish again. There she is. Mamie Paris.
I would say everything that Betsy said, everything that Jen said, absolutely. And then something we kind of talked about earlier, and that is going into something like this, you always want to try to be what you think someone wants, you know, as an actor, as a singer, as anybody. In life, we do that. And it's so much freer, and it will make you happier and, I believe, more successful when you discover that you can be the best of who you are and put that into anything you tackle, whether it's as an actor on stage, whether it's in your job and daily life. You know, when you discover the assets and all the talents that you innately have and the things you'd like to share with people, and you bring that out, you don't have to guess at what other people want to see and what they want you to be. You just have to be
yourself.
And
then it kind of comes to you.
It does.
Right? Mm-hmm. Then you're vibing at that.
Yeah. At your most authentic self,
exactly.
And things
the,
come to you.
The power of attraction or what?
Yeah,
it's about.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's the same kind of thing.
Absolutely.
It opens up a whole new world.
A new fantastic point of view. Thank you so much. Betsy Wolf, Jen Gametes, Mamie Paris. I'm your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, saying have a great show. Friends, make sure you listen next week when we welcome the comedians of the Broadway stage. We'll welcome School of Rock star Eric Peterson, Dear Evan Hansen scene stealer Will Roland, and star of Larry David's Fish in the Dark and the new hit show Claws, Jen Lyon. Can't get enough of the Broadway cast? Well, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio. And while you're at it, follow us on all social media platforms at The Broadway Cast.
You guys!
Yay!
Thank you so
that was
much.
Yay.
Thank you. I hope you had a good time.
That was really fun.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm really happy to
You're
be
very,
here.
Very good at your job.
Thank
you are.
You.
You're such a good host.
Thanks,
oh my God.
Guys. I sure do appreciate
Kept that ball
that.
Rolling. It was great.